the class. So we in chapter 2 now. Couldn't quite get through it all, but we're trying to make some progress through it. And you can open your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1. And a lot of these scriptures I'm going to be coming back to every week as a base scripture to kind of keep us grounded and understand what we're doing. Let's keep put your finger in Joshua 1 and 8 and go over to Psalms chapter 1 real quick. And then we'll come back to Joshua 1 and 8 and then we'll get into this book. We'll do a little reading. My mic ain't on, huh? It is. Praise the Lord. Lord bless this class in Jesus' name. Amen. Nice quick prayer, huh? I want to be very practical. I'm not trying to be deep or caught up in the spirit when I'm talking about this class. I love this book. Living by the Book is an amazing, it's one of the most amazing books I've ever read when it comes down to Bible study. You know, Bible study can be a difficult thing to do properly if you don't pay attention to what you're doing. Anybody can read. All right, but studying is a whole nother ball game. And really studying to get the meat from a thing. Anybody have a juice before? Are they juice? Like they juice with a juicer? Or you ever squeezed a lemon before in your tea or something like that? You never really get all the juice out, but the goal is to get it all out of there. Sometimes you gotta squeeze a little harder to get everything. I know we used to carve them in school around this time of year, you know, we never celebrate Halloween, but in school they'd be carving them pumpkins. And you take every, you're trying to get everything out of there. Well, the whole goal is to get every little bit out of there. You know what I'm saying? So it can be what you're trying to make it to be. And so studying is a very specific thing. There's a method to it. We'll talk about this a little bit tonight. There's a method to the madness. It is not just picking up your Bible and randomly reading. And it's not just looking over scriptures. It is not, I've said this before, it's not being biblically selective. A lot of times we pick our favorite scriptures that we've heard quoted since we were little kids, and we're on those, but we don't know what they're talking about in the context. Where were they? Who were they talking to? Why did he talk that way? Was he screaming with a loud voice, or was he saying it in a low prayer? Was he crying when he said it? What was the emotion? Where was he when he was doing this? All of those things, imagination. Everybody say imagination. Say it again, imagination. Come on, say it again, imagination. Your imagination is very important because not one of y'all have seen Jesus. But you believe in him, don't you? You have him in your heart. You have a vision of what you think he would look like, don't you? Everybody, and it's probably different for everybody. It's probably different. We have a vision of what, we've heard about heaven, haven't we? But it is the only thing that, you know, you might have dreamed about heaven. You know, some people say they've been to heaven before. I understand that. But in the most part, you have to use, when you're reading about and they're giving a testimony of it, your mind has to be intact and your imagination has to be in place for you even understand how glorious heaven is. And so all those things have to be in play when you're studying. It's one thing to read, but it's another thing to study. It's another thing to look, but it's another thing to observe. All right? And this word, it yields, the best way I can say it yields when you dig. It yields to you when you look like you get into it and you stay. You're not looking for it to prove a point. You can never use the Bible to be trying to prove your point. Or you try to use the Bible to preach your message. No, it's not about that. It's about seeing what is the Holy Ghost saying in this scripture. You get it? It's about, God, what are you trying to say in this verse to me? And how can I apply it? Like, what was the meaning? Like, what were you talking about when you wrote this? All scripture is written by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, amen? So it's written by men inspired by the Holy Ghost. But Holy Ghost, when you inspired this man, when you inspired Paul to write this part of the Bible, when you inspired David to write this psalm, what was going on? What was the original intent for what you were saying? A lot of times you don't get that by just skimming across the word or just reading your daily devotional. Or just reading your proverbs for the day. Sometimes you don't get it that way. Sometimes you gotta sit in that word and sit there until the Holy Ghost show you something. And you gotta dig in there and use your imagination, find out where they were and what's going on. Was the wind blowing left or right? See, those, all that stuff makes a difference in what you're going to take out of the scripture. The Bible is an amazing, listen to me. The Bible is an amazing thing. And I want to say it's an amazing story, but I don't want to say that to take the graciousness from the Bible and the power from the Bible. But it's an amazing thing. It is not just something to give me a bunch of rules and regulations, but it's the greatest love story ever. The Bible is the greatest love story ever. And if we can ever sit down and not take it as rhetoric, a theology, a doctrine, although there is doctrine in there, although there is a theocracy, a theology in there, if we don't just take it as that and we take it as, God, what are you saying to me? What is it that you're trying to convey to me in life? What is it that you're trying to tell me? Not so I can go preach it, but just what you're trying to tell me. Not so I can get a message to prove my point. No. Just what are you trying to, when you did this, when you talked about this, what is it in this scripture that's going to change my life? And the Bible, best I can describe, it's amazing. Like if you took time, if you took time with the Bible and you really, this is why this Living by the Book is important. If you really took time with the Bible, you wouldn't have time for all the other stuff. You know, TV shows and this and that, and staying on the phone all the time, and all the other things that seem to consume our time. You know what it is in your life. You know what it is. This show, that music, this. If you really get into that Bible and let it start speaking to you, it becomes the most beautiful thing you've ever heard. It becomes the most beautiful show you've ever seen. It trumps, and that's the best way I can do it, you play cards, it trumps everything else. It beats it all. You fall in love with His Word. It's just an amazing thing. But you gotta, in order to do that, you gotta spend time. Everybody say spend time. You've got to spend time. It cannot be struggle time. It cannot be forced time. You cannot be doing it because you feel like you're supposed to do something. No. It can't be a supposed to. What if somebody told you they love you because they're supposed to love you? How'd that make you feel? I'm only loving you because they told me I gotta love you. How'd that make you feel? For me, I'm like, well, you can keep your love. So not this supposed to. I'm supposed to read. I'm supposed to study the Bible. I'm a minister, so that's what I'm supposed to. No. I gotta go read the Word. No, I gotta go. I get to go. I get a chance. God then dropped this book off on this earth and inspired this thing by His Holy Spirit and gave it to me, and all y'all got one. Where your Bible say? Oh, you got one, and He gave it to you that you can look at it at your leisure. You can access that Word whenever you want to. Lord told me something the other day about Jesus. He said, right on the plane, He said, you know, I'm always thinking about how we can be more effective in the world. What would Jesus do? Right. How would you? And the Lord said, I got it right there in the book, but you just be skimming over it. He said, I got it right there in four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And Jesus is going off telling you everything about Him, how He worked in four different accounts. And it's right there, but you don't take time to go in there and dig. You read it over for religion. You pick your few scriptures out there that you like, John 3:16, right? You got your favorites, Mark 11:24, and you pick your scriptures that you like. But Jesus started talking to you. You pick your favorite parable, but you don't know what the parable talks about. You don't know who He's talking to. I started reading the Gospel. I started reading Matthew. I got to chapter 5, and I could not get past chapter 5 and chapter 6 because I started realizing what Jesus was saying, and it just kept me there. I started writing buku notes. Buku's a lot. I'm sorry, y'all. A lot of notes. Just started writing it because I couldn't get past it because I started seeing, oh, Jesus, you talking to me. Oh, you know, we'll do a little example, but I started reading when Jesus started, took him, He said, blessed are the meek. When He started talking about the blessed are the meek, He said, blessed they do hunger and thirst. I sit there and read. I watched this scripture. I sit there and read, and I thought Jesus was talking to the multitude, but He wasn't. He was just talking to the disciples. He went off in the mountain, and He was just talking to them. And not only was He talking to them, but He was showing them how to deal with the people. Jesus sat up in that mountain garden and told them how to minister to people. He said, if they ask you to go a mile, go two with them. Hit you on one cheek, turn the other one. Sue you for your coat, give them your cloak. Jesus said, I ain't come to abolish the law. I came to fulfill it. He started showing them what it was and showing them how to maneuver. You realize something about Jesus. You see, you get this stuff when you're studying the Word and you're living by the book and you're asking what's going on. You get this stuff when you realize it. Jesus never went around saying, I'm Jesus. Go look at it. He never walked in the building and said, now we'll do that if we had the power probably. I'm the Messiah. I'm here to avenge the world, right? No, you know, he never did it. Jesus slide in. They had a part where they're trying to kill Jesus. Y'all read this book, man. Look, you're reading this Bible, and you learn so much about Jesus, and it'll start showing you so much of how to change the things that you do and how you can reach people better. It'll help your character. And part, they're trying to kill Jesus. They're in the multitude. They're about to take it. They want. They're upset because he come in there preaching, repenting, upset. And Jesus, they say, Jesus weaved his way through the crowd and stole out of money. He didn't get up there and talk about where my legions of angels at. Tear it down. No. He just weaved his way through the crowd because he knew what he was doing. You see, you start seeing that stuff about Jesus, start seeing how we're supposed to be and seeing how we're supposed to minister to the people. We're ministers, right? Ministry school, right? Ministry school, right? Seeing how we're supposed to minister to people, but we've got to do that by living by the book and taking it in to see what's going on. The whole context of things change. Psalms chapter 1. You read it, it's 6 scriptures. We're going to read it together. Ready? Read. So the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So the way of the righteous is back up there in verse 1, 2, and 3. Especially verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law does he meditate day and night. He meditate how long? How long does he do it? Day and night. He meditate day and night, but his delight is in the law. His delight is in this word. Now what is it, just in your interpretation, what does it mean for something to be delightful? What does it mean when you delight in something? We don't really say, you know, I delight in this movie. We don't really talk like that. But y'all get what he's saying. Like, I enjoy it. I get joy in doing it. What is it that you delight in? You know, sometimes I delight in eating certain things. I delight in dessert. You know what I'm saying? Like, you delight in, like, you just, when you get there, you get excited. You ever seen somebody excited to go eat or something? Like, uh-oh, time to eat. Like, you delight in that. And so now this word, you get to the point where I delight in this word. Let me tell you something about it. If you ever go to the word and start digging in the word, you start delighting in the word. You may not delight at first. A lot of people don't delight in the word because they think it's so much ritual. You know, a lot of people come to the church and the first thing they learn is all the stuff you can't do. You ain't supposed to do this no more. You ain't supposed to do this no more. You can't go over here. You can't have this. You can't do that. But what about all the stuff we get to do? What about all the, why we don't lead off with that? There's a lot of people think that the Bible is just a book full of rules and God is just up there waiting for me to mess up so he can bust me in my head, but that's not the case. But if you ever look at the Bible in the right way and look at it in the right direction, you'll begin to delight it. And it's almost like you go to sleep and you got it on your mind. The other day I started reading, and I was a Bible student, but I started reading the other day and I started reading the Bible and I just couldn't put it down. Like I go to sleep and I dreamed about it. Then I woke up and I had it on my mind again. And I tried to stop talking about it, but I started talking about it again. Now, it's like I'm being redundant all day long because everybody I'm talking to, I'm talking about the things that the Bible showed me this morning, but I can't help it. I'm not trying to preach to you, but I can't help it because I'm delighting in this law. And so it becomes me. And so all day, even when I ain't got my Bible with me, I'm meditating. What's meditation? Huh? Come on, what's meditation? Thinking on it, pondering on something, muttering it over and over again. So now when you're sitting there and something happens and the scripture come up, you're in meditation right now. Let the Lord speak to you and show you what he's showing you. You see me? That delight. Everybody say delight. Come on, say it again, delight. To just have a desire to go towards it. It's delightful to be in the word. It's a great thing to be there. So his delight is in the law. And because his delight is in the law, what is he doing? How long he meditating? He ain't meditate day and night. See, here's another thing. Apostle studied more than all of us, hands down. all day, every day. We go to work, he go to work. His work is study the word. All right. But he's not studying in the word to get a message. Or he's not studying in the word to be anointed. No, that's not why he's doing it. He reading that word, studying that word, because he's just so delighted with God and so in love with God and so enthralled by God and so taken in by God and so brought in by God that I want to know so much about God. He's so amazing to me that I'm just pulled in. I'm attracted. I delight in you. So because I am delighted in you and because I love you just that much, it causes me, cause and effect, it causes me to study more. It caused me to be at the point where I can't put it down. We can't go from the other direction. So I think a lot of times we go from the wrong direction. We try to study and pray so we can be anointed. No, 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 no. We fall in love and it causes us to study and to pray. It causes you to be to a point to where you can't put it down. To where you can't stop thinking about it. If you haven't gotten there with the word of God, you need to take another dip. If you hadn't got to the point where the word of God is infiltrating your mind, where you gotta like almost make yourself think about something else, it's time to take another dip. It's trying to search on the inside. Ministry, right? We're in ministry school, right? It should be to the point where I'm talking about a rock fall off the top of the building and the gravity that made the rock fall give me a message. Come on, I mean, I'll be trying not to get a message. I just wanna look at the game. But then they done something and ran a play, and I'm like, God, dog, Lord, I see what you're trying to tell me, and I done got an example. Now we ready to go for it. But I take it and apply it to my life first, then I preach it. God will show you, listen. God will show you stuff in the most unlikely places if you delight yourself. God will start taking that word and start unfolding it. We call it the Rhema word. They call it Rhema. Everybody say Rhema. You got the Logos written away, but you got the Rhema word. And Rhema, when that word becomes alive, when the Holy Spirit breathes. You know what I mean? In the Bible, they said when God created Adam, they say he formed him from the ground, and he formed him up, formed him from the dirt. But then he said he breathed into him, and he became a living soul. Y'all know the scripture, huh? When God breathed into Adam, he became a living soul. What is your soul? Your intellect, your will, your thoughts, your emotion, all that, right? He became a living being when God breathed into him. And that word becomes alive in your being when the Holy Spirit breathes on it. But the Holy Spirit can't breathe on nothing that you ain't got in you. Why does it meditate? Why does it memorize the word? Why does it look at it all the time? Because you got to have something for the Holy Spirit to breathe on, or he's just going to breathe in and out. When the breath of the Holy Ghost meets the meditated word, life takes place. Manifestation takes place. Why more stuff not manifesting? Because they're not meeting. It's somewhere that the wires, me and Raj, we talk about electricity and how you got the wires gotta touch. Like a certain charge they got to touch in order for you to get electricity going through a certain line of lights or whatever. Like it got to touch. And somewhere along the line, there ain't no manifestation taking place. There's something that's not touching. Now you got to figure out what's not touching. Is it that I don't have the word in me that the Holy Spirit can breathe on? Or if I'm not allowing the Holy Spirit to breathe on the word that I done put in me? But once they get together, it's like a combustion. Boom. And it starts to manifest all the things that the word says is for you. But it got to be in you, and it got to be breathed on. Come on. You better write it. In you and breathed on. It's got to be in you and breathed on. If it's not in you and it's not breathed on, you won't receive the manifestation. Flip over to Joshua chapter 1. And y'all know these scriptures. We'll just go over them, and I hope you know them by heart. Just up and down before we finish with this class. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, and we'll do a little reading in this book. A little time. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, ready to read. Which book? What book are you talking about? All right, keep reading. Read from the beginning. Ready to read. Now, we've seen that before, huh? Meditate day and night? We saw it just a minute ago where in Psalms. It's not the same thing. Thou shalt meditate day and night. Keep reading that thou. Now, when you see the word then, that means it's not till then will then happen. Yeah, does that make sense to you? So it says, for then you're going to make your way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. But this is a cause and effect. It's almost like, you know, you cannot go into the scripture just looking to make your way prosperous and have good success. You got to go to the first part. I know this with the Bible. God will make a promise. God will give instruction and then give you a promise what you do if you do it. Give. And should be giving you a good medicine. But give, comma. That's all you got to do. That's your job. So now when you read this book, lost not part of the mouth, thou meditate in day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. It's like knee jerk. Punch in the eye, what happened? Huh? What happened? Swell up. She said, it hurts? It hurts? It swell up, right? You ain't got to, pow, come on, hurt. You ain't got to do it. It's going to be there, ain't it? Bow in the eye. You ain't got to slap me in the lip. You ain't got to come on, swell. You don't have to do it. It is an automatic reaction. Everybody say cause and effect. Hitting the mouth, swelling happens. It is not nothing that you got to look for. It is just the effect of the cause. And so now, if I can ever get to the point where I'm meditating, this book of law is not just the part of my mouth, but I'm meditating there in day and night, that I'm observing to do. According to how much? All that's written in. Automatically, your way gonna be made prosperous, and you're gonna make yourself have good success. They don't say God had you, God make you good success. They don't say God make your way prosperous. No. He already put that, he already ingrained that, he already programmed that into his word. He already programmed the good success and your way prosperous. He already programmed that into the word. So now I gotta make you fall in love with the word. Why? What happens when I fall in love with the word? You actually fall in love with me, because me and my word are the same thing. That's what God said, right? So now if I can get you to fall in love with my word and get you to delight yourself in my law, then if I can get you to delight yourself in my words, then I'm getting you to delight yourself in me, and all these things will be added. But it starts off with the delight. It starts off with, this book of law is not a part of my heart, but thou meditate therein. When I first heard that scripture, when I was younger, man, I first heard that scripture, I was like, man, how I'm going to do that? Y'all know y'all thought the same thing. How am I going to do that? How? I had to go to school, man. I'm trying to go hang out with my friend. You mean I can't go to the movies? You mean tell me I can't chill? Because how I'm going to do this day and night? Like, how in the world? And I didn't realize that. How in the world am I going to meditate this word day and night? Lord, what do you mean? Do I quit everything else? I can't watch the game? It starts seeming like a burden. I got to do this day and night. But then I realized that when I started looking at it and it started coming alive to me, the meditation just became a day and night thing. It's like I woke up with it on my mind, and I went to bed with it on my mind, and then you dream about it, right? You dream about it. Then you start talking to somebody, and you lose conversation with them because now you're thinking about something that they said that triggered a word in your heart, and now you off on a whole nother trail. You ever, Lord ever took you on a trail before? Tell it to, come on. The Lord never took you on a trail. We need to take you on a trail. The Lord take you on a trail, hit that word, boom, and now, boom, then he took you over here to John, boom, then he took you over here to Psalm, boom, then he took you to Joshua, boom, and before you know it, you got 16 scriptures on the trail, and God took you on a journey, and it changed your whole life. This is delight. But we're not, I'm going to say this again, I keep saying it, we're not doing this to preach, though. Come on, ministers. We're not doing this to get a message. Everybody get a message. The devil got a message. Y'all know when the devil tempted Jesus, he started quoting the scriptures to him. He said, they say he gonna bring legions. He said, he cast down, you won't dash your foot up against a stone. He quoting the Bible. He quoting the scriptures. So the devil got a message. So what's the difference? You got a message, he got a message. We got a message. No, it's that love. It's that love. And see, he can't get the Holy Spirit inspiration. He can't reach that. He ain't got that kind of relationship. And that becomes the difference. Anybody, they got some people out in the world that know the Bible better than you. That's not saved at all. And they study the word. They'll quote it up and down. They'll debate with you and all that. They do. I done seen some of them. But see, the difference is when that Holy Spirit shows up, you ain't got that. And that's where the power at. You know, when Moses threw down his rod, turned to a snake, you know, they say, I throw my rod down too. But the difference is there was something in Moses' rod that they didn't have in theirs. And that's why it was able to come. You remember when Elijah's calling the prophets, all the prophets come out there and they were calling fire from heaven? He said, y'all go ahead and do what y'all doing. Y'all call, they calling all day, screaming, tearing, they pulling their hair and all that, trying to scream, ain't never get nothing. He put the rocks and the stones and that. Then he started stunting on them a little bit. He started kind of bragging on them a little bit. He dug the trench and poured water in the trench. Then throw some water on it. What else y'all want me to do? I'm gonna put a little water. You want some more rocks in there? Because you don't burn rocks, huh? Wait. And he called on heaven and it licked the rocks and everything up. The fire came down and licked it all up. Because there's a difference. That should be the difference. There's a lot of people ministering right now that's just preaching something that they heard somebody else say. They call it, we're talking about in the book. The book gonna say it's called secondhand information. You telling people what somebody told you about God. You giving people revelation that somebody gave you, but it ain't real to you. There's revelation that I'll hear. I'll be with Apostle and he'll be preaching, and the revelation will hit, and I'll write it down and I'll get it. But I had to understand that faith comes by hearing, and what else? And hearing. And you can add 30 more hearings if you wanted to. And hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing. You never stop hearing. That's how faith comes from. So when you hear something in church, they might hit you. Boom! Ooh, I ain't never heard that before. But you ain't really got it yet. That's why you got to get the CD, get the tape, go watch it. Lord, thank you for online. And go back and get the MP3s. Y'all know how so much stuff we can do now. I used to wonder how they did it in the old days because they ain't had no tapes. Jesus preached, that's a wrap. You better get it then. Ain't no recording, right? Thank God for technology, amen. You go back and listen to that thing, and you listen to it, and then the revelation becomes alive to you because you meditate it, and you take it in. You go over and over again, and faith is developing, and then it becomes alive to you, and then it's going to be that day. It's like this, boom, 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 and you think ain't nothing going on, but boom, boom. I listen to the tape again, boom. Listen to the tape tell you way off all up front on there. Listen to the CD tell you it's all hot, you can't even take it out of the CD player. Boom, 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 boom. I'm listening over again. All right, Lord, I'm listening again, listen again. And it comes that day that you listen to it one day, and that word come, and the Holy Spirit shows up. Excuse the negativity of this, but it's like a train wreck. Boom. And the Holy Spirit hit that word, and it mess you up. It lights your mind up. You like, shoot, I ain't never seen it before in my life. You know, I grew up in church, so I heard a lot of scripture. I heard a lot of scripture and a lot of word. I quote a lot of scripture. I quote scripture after scripture, quote. But it's not until I started meditating this word and I started seeing that some of those scriptures that I knew, you know, you say you know something about heart? I knew it by head, actually. And then I sat down one day and I listened and I said, hold up, God, what you saying right here? And the Holy Spirit slapped that thing. Boom. And it becomes a whole nother thing. It becomes a whole nother ballgame. All religion and tradition gone now. And it becomes an alive thing to me that I can use and apply to me. I'm not going to preach until I apply it. Come on, preachers. Come on, reverends. I'm not going to preach it until I got it here. You know, it's more effective when you done run it through your system first. Huh? You can minister it better, and God can put his hand on it more when you let it run through you first. No second hand, first hand. You want to go, all right. Because we can go back to the old days and you start knowing God second hand. You know, they knew God second hand. They knew God from what the priest told them. You couldn't talk to them on your own. No, you better have a priest. And whatever the priest say, you just got to take it for face value. Oh, but thank God Jesus came, died on the cross, rose again. The curtain is torn in heaven. And now we can walk into the holiest of holies for ourselves. Amen? Amen. And we can get in there and God can inspire the word on the inside of us. But it comes from a delight and in taking time with the word. And taking time and spending time with it. And saying, this book, I don't want nothing else but what you're saying, God. Listen, it might be on the great, but I don't need your revelation. Most of the things that we are in awe about in life, and I started talking to a couple of my friends about this yesterday, and I really realized something. The most things that we are in awe about, you see somebody with extraordinary talent or extraordinary anointing, right? People like Apostle, right? The things that why we are drawn to his anointing and drawn to who he is and drawn to the greatness of who he is as a minister and everything. The reason we're drawn to that is because we're drawn to the love. See what happens is you got people that's doing stuff to try to make a ministry pop off. But God ain't never called us to make the ministry pop off. He never told us to do that. God told us to seek me with all you got. And what happens is when you start loving God with all you got, God starts to birth stuff from that love. Love is the greatest motivator. Love is the greatest motivator ever. And God starts to birth stuff from that love to the point where Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. You know the scripture? He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. He's saying, if you lift me up on the altar of your heart, if you look at me above everything else, then I'll make men be drawn to you to be able to come and see you in love with me and see how you love me so they can learn how to love me. That's the goal. You don't get this word and start writing this word down so you can have a good message and maybe that message will pop your ministry off. No. That's not how it works. It all starts with the love. Everything that's extraordinary has ever happened always started with the love. Anything that was ever history changing or life changing or history making always started with the love. And because of that love, it birthed worldwide ministry. Because of that love, it birthed an unshakable anointing. Because of that love, it birthed unshakable faith, which worketh by love. But it starts off with that, the light. Meditate day and night. This book of law, you're going towards it. You're in love with it. What you do with people that you love? Come on, talk to me. Somebody that you love, you spend time with them. What you do with stuff that you love? You spend time with it. You take care of it. You're always looking for it. Get on the phone. Where you at, baby? Where you at? My brother. Where you at? What you doing? Where you at? What you want to do today? What you want to do? Love. Do you love God? Do you love his word? Where you at, word? What you doing? You want to hang out tonight? Wake up in the morning and the word is the first thing on your mind. Send the word a message. Huh? Go out on a date with the word. What you do? Fall in love with that word. Court that word. You date that word. You spend time with that word. You get to the point where all you want to talk to is the word. You don't want to talk to nobody else. Ain't nobody else going to get your ear because the word got your heart. Huh? Y'all with me? And you spend time with that word. And before you know it, the word will manifest to you. The word start loving you back. Thought about that, huh? That word start loving you back. And the word start courting you back. And the word start calling you first thing in the morning. And the word can't get you off its mind. It's a different type of relationship. So I meditate day and night. Meditate day and night. Meditate day and night. Chapter 4, I got to get in this book. There's a method to the madness. And first, you see on page 39, it talks about there's a method to the madness. Right in there, it said, first of all, method is methodicalness. It took me a little while to say that word. I ain't going to lie. Because I was like, methodicalness? No, methodicalness. It involves taking certain steps in a certain order to guarantee a certain result. Not just any steps, not just any order, not just any results. Y'all see that? Underline all that. That's perfect. Taking certain steps. There's a method to studying the Word of God. It goes on to say the results govern everything. And we do a little reading. What is the product of methodical Bible study? What are you after? All along I've been saying that personal Bible study has a very specific aim. Namely, underline that, what it says? life change. The whole goal is life change. Now, hold on. I'll keep bringing you back. Not stop skipping over. Stop skipping over personal life. Because ministers, and I'll tell you this ahead of time, ministers have a habit. We have a habit of doing this because the people are on your heart. Our ministry should be on your heart. If I heard a guy talking the other day, he said, if you don't like people, why are you trying to be a pastor? Or why are you trying to be a minister? Because who are you going to minister to? The birds? Like, you got to love people. And so if people ain't your thing, this might not be your thing. I'm just a heads up before you get too deep in it. But it's a method to it, and the object is life change, but we cannot skip over my life change. All right, now I have a habit. Now, can I share something with y'all? I have a habit of, as soon as I get something, I want to preach it. It's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing because you have a zeal for delivering the message. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing when used properly. But it becomes bad if you let the word come in and you don't let it sit in you and change you, and you're trying to deliver it so quick. It weakens the power. See, what the word of God does is supposed to connect with your heart and mingle with the spirit of God on the inside of you. Come on, y'all with me? The word of God is supposed to come in and mingle with the spirit of God on the inside of you and give that word some substance and some power so that the next time that you say it and deliver it, it is delivered. Paul said, I came not to you with excellency of speech or man's wisdom, but in demonstration of spirit and of power. It's almost like you're releasing the spirit of God with his word when you say it. It's the difference between, all right, you done been in church before and somebody was preaching and it was dead as a doorknob. Tell the truth. All y'all been in a service like that. You just push the chill over. I don't even know what he's talking about. Right? He might as well just go sit down somewhere. When you gonna finish? But then you've been in a service where the power of God started coming, the man of God started speaking, and the power hits you right behind that word. It's like the punch with the left and hits you with the right behind that word. And then the Bible said, they said, did not our hearts burn when Jesus talked to us? This is what the word of God is supposed to do. This is what the word of God is supposed to do. So now when that word comes into you, it's supposed to mingle with that. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells where? Where? On the inside of you. So that means that's a piece of God on the inside of you. So now when that word comes in that ear and that faith starts to develop, it meets that spirit man and starts to mingle. Now if you just let it come in here, you know they say in one ear, out the other? What if you just go in one ear, out your mouth and never go down into your heart? Come on, y'all. If it just goes here and then comes out here and never makes that trip into the deep. Did the Holy Spirit say, the Holy Spirit searches all things, yeah, the deep things of God, right? In the belly, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water, right? The scripture, right? If that word never comes in and takes that dip in that river, it can never be, it can never flow. It can never have the wetness of the anointing on it. It'll just be a dry word coming in and out. Coming in and out. Come on. Coming in and out. But no. Meditation does this. It's spending time, lets that word come in and take dip and let it sit. You ever let something marinate before? It's cool when you put a little salt on it. Right? I don't talk to y'all. Y'all get hungry. Y'all gonna shut down on me. It's cool when you put a little bit on it or you put a little sauce on the top of it. But wouldn't you just let that thing sit overnight? The whole flavor better, ain't it? It's a whole nother taste, ain't it? It's a whole nother feeling. Well, same way with that word. Let it come in, boom, let it dip in there, let it sit in there for a little while. Let it work out. And it start, that word start. And what happens, it'll start manifesting in your life. The next time that you say it and the time that you put it out, it got all that anointing sopped up on the inside of it already and ready to put it on somebody else when it reaches their hearts. That's the goal. That's what ministry should be. It should never be a dry word. But the words come dry when you take it in and just let it out. And you don't let it marinate. So I can't, when I say life change, you can't skip you. Don't skip you. Look at somebody and tell them, don't skip you. Don't skip you when life change. When you see the word life change, yes, it should change somebody else's life. But it should change mine first. Are y'all with me? Because the goal, they said the specific aim is life change. Number one, observation. Somebody read this. I don't care who. Underline that. What's the question?
What do I see?
I can't hear y'all. What's the question?
What do I see?
Continue reading.
The moment you come to scripture, you ask, what are the facts?
Underline that. What are the facts? So no, come on, look at it. What's the question we're asking? Huh?
What do I see?
What do I see? All right, and then what else?
What are the facts?
What are the facts? All right, and then it goes on to say, no, you're a biblical detective. You're looking for something.
Yeah.
Search the scriptures. For any of you think they're light, but they testify of me. You know, he's really saying, you can't really get no testimony of me if you ain't searching. So I'm a detective. I'm looking for clues. What you trying to say? You ever watching detective shows? You ever watch them? You ever seen them in the interrogation room, boy? Them thing it'd be something, boy. You ever seen somebody interrogate somebody for real? I have too, boy. You ask the question, boy, you get them all wound up. I've been in the courtroom from time, they interrogating the people, wind them up. You don't know what. And they get all kind of stuff in there they ain't even looking for. They get information they wasn't even trying to find. Because they in there poking, trying to find. So in the word, no. I like to, what it said, no detail. It's trivial. Because everything makes a difference. At least our second step. Who's going to read number two? There it is. Underline that. What does it mean? Underline it. Here you ask the question, what does it mean? Okay, you can go on. Underline that. Too much Bible study, it begins with interpretation, and furthermore, it usually ends there.
But I'm going to show you that it does not begin there. Before you understand, you have to learn to see. Nor does it end there, because the third step is...
All right, so now we're at interpretation. And I want you to underline this other thing, too. Right, it says, what does it mean? It says your central quest is for meaning. It's not interpretation. So now we got the first one to observe. What do I see? What are the facts? I'm looking for the details. All right? Take me to my next step, which is interpretation. You got it? I want to know the central quest is for meaning. So when I found these facts, now what do you mean by what you're saying? What did you mean when you said whatever you said in the word? Somebody quote a scripture. Just quote one. I ain't looking for nothing deep. Just get, come on, give me one. Come on, ministers. The Lord is my, what did you mean when you said you my shepherd? What is the interpretation? Well, what does a shepherd do? Watch over the sheep, lead the sheep where they're supposed to go? Huh? What do I see? That the Lord, I see that the Lord, who's the Lord? The Lord, he's my shepherd, and I see that. That's something I want. So now what does this mean to me? That means if he's my shepherd, come on, I'm just using that for us. But if he's my shepherd, then I shouldn't want for anything. So now, all right, now how do I, application, number three. Who's reading it? Underline it.
Not does it work.
Listen. Don't you question this Bible and find out if it work or not. Just because you do something and it don't show up for you, that's something that's a problem with you. Ain't nothing wrong with the word. We like, God, why? No. Thou does not inquire wisely concerning this. It's something with you. Not doesn't work. Go ahead, you can keep reading. Wow. Wow. Return to reality, powerful.
And for those who read it and heed it, it changes your life.
For those, that last line, for those who read it and what else? Heeded. All right. What does heed mean? We don't use that word in our eye every day. And we don't heed. You know, you better heed what I'm saying. We don't really say that. But what does that mean? You read it, but then you. What's the title of that section right there? Number three. Application. So now the Lord is my shepherd. I see the fact that he's my shepherd. I see the fact that they say I shall not want. All right. Then, so what does this mean to me? That means, what does the shepherd do? He's my shepherd. That means he watches over me, protect me, and lead me. Show me where I need to go. Take care of everything. And so because of that, I should not want. So how do I apply the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want? Well, let me look at life. Turn around and look at my own life. Well, am I in want? Because if I'm in want, then there's somewhere that I'm not letting the Lord be my shepherd. And so there's somewhere, come on, we ain't even quote the whole thing, that the whole thing is powerful. But just the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Let's stop. Stop quoting them whole things because you know it all together. Y'all know we learned it when we was younger, so you know it all together, so you can't even quote it and stop. You don't know what scripture stop and which one start. Right? Lord is my shepherd. Stop right there. Now, we get meat out of this now because if I got one in my life, that means somewhere along the line, I'm not letting the Lord be my shepherd. So now I'm self-evaluating and applying this word to see where am I not being shepherded? Where is it in my life that I'm not letting him be the shepherd? You know, I might let him be the shepherd in my friendships, but he's not a shepherd in my marriage. I might let him shepherd me at church, but he's not a shepherd with my money. I might let him shepherd me in my marriage, but not at my job. And so find the area of life that you're lacking. Just living by the book. Come on, come on, come on. Y'all, come on, we're doing it. We're doing it live right now. See, when you come to church and you preach and people preaching, you come, you are doing a live on-hand meditation. Like you go to, like you go, when I went to church yesterday. I'm doing a live in the moment. We're having a big study group. We're having a live meditation service. And he's showing me how to crack their word open and get some revelation out of it. So now the Lord, we're doing it right now. So now the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. The fact is he's my shepherd and I shall not want. Right, right, right. And the interpretation means if he is my shepherd, then I shouldn't have anyone. That's what this means to me. Shepherding gives me a place where I have no want. True shepherding brings me to a place where there's no want. So now for me, look in the mirror. What part of my life is there want? Come on, now think about it for a second. What part of your life is there lacking? I'm not talking about just financial. I'm talking about just what part of your life are you lacking in? Where is there a lack in your life? And wherever there's a lack or a deficiency in your life, it's somewhere that you're not letting him be the shepherd. How many words is that? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Nine. Huh? Nine words change your life. Nine words gonna have you thinking about yourself tomorrow. No, not tomorrow, tonight. You're gonna be in the car like, man, yeah. Turn the radio off. That's when it get good. Come on, come on. That's when it get good. When you said it, boy, listen, let me tell y'all something, boy. We're gonna be some preachers of me. Listen, let me tell y'all something. It get good when you turn off your favorite song, boom, because you're trying to hear what he's saying. And you start self-evaluating. It's like, oh, shoot. Like, well, yeah, I know I got it. And you got to be honest with yourself now. Can't be stunting and faking. And don't. The worst thing to do is lie to yourself. The Bible said, be a doer of the word, not a hearer only, deceiving your own self. It's a bad thing somebody lied to you, but you lie to yourself, you're in the cult about, no, I ain't got that problem. Yes, you do. You got the problem, and you know you got it. You know it better than anybody else. You know you're lacking right there, so now let's just deal with it. I cannot fix it if I can't deal with it. You go to the doctor and tell him all the problems, huh? You tell him right where it's headed, right under the elbow, right behind where the little bone at. You don't be like, it don't really hurt, doc. No, you tell him exactly where it's at so he can get to it and deal with it. How much more the Holy Ghost? You got to be honest about it, though. So now, Lord is my shepherd. Shall not want. Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Say it. Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Say it again.
The Lord is my shepherd.
Now, we're not even going to the green pasture and all that yet. But the Lord is my shepherd. And I shall not want. So now that right there gives me a life evaluation. I'm going to sit down and think about this for about 4 or 5 days. Huh? Living by the book. Living by the book. Every part of your living is by the book. Do y'all get that? It's not about religion or rhetoric. It's not trying to seem biblically smart. No, you're living by the book. And you let that living by the book comes in and the book becomes your living. Huh? Let the book become your living. You begin to look like the book. You begin to mirror what the book is saying. You start looking like that, and now it becomes a living rhema word to somebody else. Now you a witness. You can't be a witness before you do that, though. Are y'all with me? Application. How does it work? If you ever preach a message, I don't care how deep your revelation is, and you never show people how, you ain't did nothing. Always make sure that you are a how-to minister. Say it. How-to minister. Don't tell me what Jesus gonna do and how he won't do it, and you don't tell me how to take part. There's a book in we did, it's called Experiencing God. We had it before we did this semester. And the book says this. Everybody talking about, Lord, what's your will for my life? He said, you're asking the wrong question. You ought to find out from the Lord, what's your will and how can I be involved? What are you doing, God, and how do I get involved with what you're doing? So now, with this word, it gotta be, how does it work? If you preach, I can't stand hearing these messages and they rile you up and hollering and yelling and saying all this stuff the Lord gonna do, but then you go home empty-handed because you don't know what you should do. It's all by faith, right? Right? Everything is by faith, so it gotta be done by faith. So there must be something I must do, but if I leave a service and need to preach for an hour and a half and they told me nothing that I'm supposed to do, then what is the point? When you minister, you make sure that you always let them know how. You write your outline, then you write what you better at the end. You better stop your revelation and your hollering and your hoop or whatever it is and telling people how to do what you're trying to teach them. Because if they don't know how to do it, you ain't said nothing. Jesus always told them how to do what he was ministering to them. If Jesus told them to love, he told them how to do it. If he told them to reach out, he told them how to do it. It's too much empty-handed preaching. Too much exciting, and you fall out, and you're excited, and you're happy, and you're screaming in church, and everybody clapping, and up and shouting, but then you go back in the car, and you don't know what to do with yourself, so now you got to come back next Sunday, and hopefully he tell me how to do it. How to, everybody say how to. How to, thank you.